This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio from Adams Place right here in Murfreesboro, we have the Executive Director, Terry Deal, and then also the Executive Director of Assisted Living, and that's Steve Chapek. How are both of you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, Scott. I hope you are.
Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Starting off this morning, Steve, you want to tell us a little bit about assisted living there at Adams Place?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for letting me be here. I'm enjoying this already. So we have assisted living. We have 84 apartments in our regular assisted living. Then we have 23 memory care assisted living apartments as well. Of course, assisted living is where folks are starting to need a little bit more assistance. It's more like maybe grandma. That might be at the family functions that needs a little bit of help here and there with things, but mainly it's that they don't have to take care of any meals anymore. All three meals are taken care of there, and that if they need an assistant, someone to come and help them with anything for care or just in their room as well, we have caregivers and nurses on at all times in our building.
Terry, what all is happening this time of year at Adams Place? And I'm sure a lot of other assisted living type facilities, they do a lot of the same things this time of year.
I think a lot of us do some of the same things. You know, everybody takes their own little spin on the same types of activities, whether it be bingo or outings or whatever. I know at Adams Place, you know, when it starts warming up, everybody wants to get outside. We're doing more outings campus-wide. We had a bus full of folks going to the Ladies Charity Circle event in Nashville yesterday, so they had a shopping day and had a good time. So going out to eat, going on shopping adventures, those types of things. And again, that type of activity does happen campus-wide. Even in memory care, they'll go out for spring day drives just to get the residents out and get them some fresh air and sunshine.
You know, for anybody who grew up in the Murfreesboro-Rutherford County area, let's say, for example, if we go back to the 1980s, mm-hmm. there was not a whole lot to do in this area, but I'm guessing you don't ever run out of stuff to do these days.
I would say I would agree with that. Yeah, in the 80s, things were a whole lot different everywhere. But Murfreesboro just has so many more offerings now. It's incredible to me that we don't, you know, years ago, we had residents that enjoyed going into Nashville on a regular basis. Now we have so many offerings in and around Murfreesboro that we can get the same quality of performances locally without having to go into Nashville. So a lot of people really like to stay around close to home.
Now, because Rutherford County is kind of a melting pot of society, I mean, so many people move here for work. I'm sure that same reflection is seen at Adams Place because you have people from all over the country.
Absolutely. I imagine Steve would agree with this. I know in independent living, in the 6+ years that I've been there, I have seen a change where residency used to be comprised primarily of Murfreesboro residents, long-term Murfreesboro residents. Now, independent living and probably assisted living as well,
absolutely,
I would say is probably about a 50-50 mix of local Murfreesboro to transplants, if you will, because the kids are moving here and then the parents and grandparents follow.
A number of years back, it would be rare to run into somebody who wasn't born in Murfreesboro or Rutherford County, or at least somewhere nearby like Nashville. But
right
now, it is totally different. And I think that makes our community a lot more interesting.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
So what types of backgrounds do you hear about when you meet with people, when they first come there and talk to you? What types of backgrounds? Are we talking a lot of professors, maybe folks who are in an executive position at an office somewhere? But what types of interesting backgrounds have you run across?
I have everything from farmer to NASA agents to Secret Service agents to professors and literally everything in between.
The stories that are there.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've got, you know, with the generation that we're currently serving, we've got a lot of veterans that live
absolutely
with us. So, talking with them, I've got several pilots that live in independent living. And yeah, hearing the stories that they have to tell are really amazing.
You know, I look at a lot of folks who are my age and younger, and I don't know that we're going to have these interesting stories. But a lot of folks have, you know, stay at home type jobs.
Right.
I don't know that this is going to be interesting in the future.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that for me too. I don't think my story is nearly as interesting.
I mean, where will books and movies be, you know, in the 2040s or something?
Right.
Yeah, I have a gentleman that actually will be turning 100 this month, and just the stories he's shared with me since I've come there, He was in the service. He's actually been in shipwreck. He was there on D-Day. Just the types of things that he can share. And also, I think a lot of times when they think of assisted living, unfortunately, a lot of people will think of like nursing home. That is so far from what assisted living is. Assisted living is more like an independent living with a little bit of help. But these folks, I promise you, I feel like their memories are better than mine. I'm talking yesterday, mm-hmm. I'm talking earlier today, I'm talking, you know, not just past memories, but all memories. They're just amazing people. And this gentleman, when he starts sharing this, he's been on a documentary, he's gone down in a sub to see the ship that that actually he was on that got sunk. So it's just, yeah, I don't know what kind of stories I'll have to share, because I'll have nothing like that to share with anyone at some point. So.
You can tell, you know, I worked at an assisted living place.
So. Right.
Yes.
Went on the radio occasionally.
Yeah. There we go.
but to be 100 years old, that means he was born almost right in the middle of the Depression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His parents. I would love to hear what they would have said to him, you know, growing up. And I bet his way of saving money is quite different from others today.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The choices that you could have made back then, you know, once you got to that point of deciding, do I go to college or do I start the workforce? The choices would have been completely different too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always fascinating to hear him talk about how he'll definitely give credit to God, how God has spared him and moved him along through life, and just one of the most humble people I've ever met. And he's got just one of the neatest stories. Amazing family, treats everyone with respect. He had got to throw out the first pitch at one of the Sounds games recently in the last few months. But yeah, those are the type of folks we have. And I just adore working with them.
Have you noticed, or maybe it's just me, but have you noticed that those who are in that age group, you know, let's say 75 to 100, they are so much more respectful to others when compared to those of the younger generation. And I don't know if we went wrong somewhere or if something is just not taught anymore, but do you notice that?
I think there is some of that. And I think the neat thing, though, is within our industries that we work in, Terry and I, that when you bring in employees, they're going to be younger as well. And having them around the older generation is so important. You can see them kind of now gleaming from them and understanding how important it is to know the history and know these folks, that it's not just about being on social media and listening to music. There's a lot more to it. And so I do see a little bit of that, but the elderly population that I work with, it's cool when they can take the newer, younger caregivers or servers or things like that are in our building and really help them to see how important it is to have those relationships with older adults.
And they help mentor them
as
well. You know, our residents, and I do think there's a lot of differences, I mean, we all do, between the generations. And there's a lot of young people that don't even know how to interact with anybody that's older, or even anybody with white hair. If they have white hair, oh my goodness, they're ancient, you know, and I don't know how to communicate with them. And so it's really interesting to watch the residents that we have today try to impart wisdom, you know, just different ways of mentoring, whether it's through encouraging education and that sort of thing. And I wonder, as the ages progress, you know, how that is going to change in 20 or 30 or 40 years, because we view things differently than our current resident population does.
Yeah. You know, I was reading an article recently, and it was I think it was a poll that was done by the American Psychiatry Association, one of those groups that focuses on psychology. And they were talking about how one in four Americans today tend to isolate themselves more so than any other generation or any other time in the past. And I found that interesting, but you can really see it. More people are isolating themselves today for various reasons, maybe not even realizing it. I think social media plays a big role in that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
very much so. And I think the really cool thing about working in the environment we work in is that you actually get to see, like, I know I'll have families that will come to me and say, hey, we're thinking of looking into assisted living for our loved one. And they start sharing with me. And, you know, you hear that this person was so vibrant doing so many things, and that they've kind of pulled back from that. They're having a hard time making their meals, and they're just more or less, the house has not become their abode that they still want to be there, of course, but it's become more like a ball and chain to them, in that they just want to be there, but they're missing out on all the other parts of life, the social life. Mm-hmm. And so when they come in and they start to see what's going on, and they're still, of course, very hesitant, but let's say they do come on into the building and move in, to watch them start to blossom, it's almost like seeing a beautiful flower that's just needing some water and it's kind of shutting down a little bit. And then you put that water on it and it opens right back up. It's really cool to see that when we have folks move in and they get involved with folks their age and they're having fun again and they're meeting new people and new friends and being able to share stories and have so much of the camaraderie that it just, their families are like, this is amazing. They didn't want to be here. And now they're like, well, I'm doing bingo at this time and I'm doing crafts at this time and I'm going out at this time. So you have to come in between that to see me.
or make an appointment with them to come in and visit.
Yeah.
You guys are able to see firsthand the detrimental impact that isolating yourself can have on a person, but you're able to see what happens once you are placed into an environment where there's other people, where you're almost forced to socialize to a certain extent. Yeah. And like how you were describing it, you're able to see somebody blossom. But is that a normal story where you do see people who come to you and, you know, they were all alone? They did not really interact with others, at least that last year or two where they were living at their house. But now that they're here, this new environment, they are able to interact in a way that family's never seen it before.
Well, the never seen before might be, I wouldn't say that part, but I would say in regards to that, they're starting to shut down and they're starting to see them open back up again. Yes, I have a resident that's moved in probably in the last, it's less than a year, probably about 9 months. And she just lost her spouse. The family had come in and I usually tell them, hey, a lot of changes at once is really hard on someone. So, you know, maybe just take the information back and chat with her, but give her some time. I mean, it was weeks since she lost her spouse, not months, like weeks. And so they came back a couple weeks later, I think it was a week later, and said, we're seeing some things, we're worried about her. We're thinking that, you know, we're talking to her about, we really think this is the right thing. And so then they brought her back for the tour. She walked around, we really hit it off. It was fun, just great, great lady to chat with. And so she said, well, you know, I think I'm gonna give it a try. She said, you know, I probably won't sell the house yet. I said, no, don't do that. Don't sell the house yet. Just, you know, you need to make all those changes. She did move in just a few weeks later. It only takes a few weeks to be able to do all that. And she came in and she told me as we were doing the paperwork, she said, you know, I'm not selling the house, as I said. I'm gonna see how this goes. She goes, you know, maybe at some point I will. She came back to me 4 days later and said, guess what? I said, what? She goes, I called a realtor today. I'm going to sell the house. She said, my husband would have thought this was the greatest place for me. So I'm so happy I'm here. And I was like, it just, of course, brought a huge smile to my face. I said, we love having you here. And she's just, it's just, we have so many neat people that truly love on each other and take care of each other in that way too, emotionally and stuff. So they all are in it together. They've all been through the same thing in a sense.
I think there's lessons for really every generation here. I mean, when you talk about things like isolating yourself, when you talk about things like interacting more with people in general, it does change a life in a lot of ways. It allows you to grow.
It does. You know, I have families that come in and they have visions for what they want mom and dad to do. When mom and dad arrive, they have a different vision of what they want to do because they don't necessarily want to do the same things that they did when their kids were young. And as children, you know, we remember our parents a certain way and we think that's just the way that they will always be. And that's not the case. You know, they do find other interests and they find new friends, which expose them to other interests. And I think that's one of the good things about the melting pot that we now are in Rutherford County, because people that were born and raised in Murfreesboro, while they may have had extensive travel throughout their lives or something like that, if they've got a number of neighbors from Michigan, from California, from Oregon, from Florida, well, all of those different people are going to bring different experiences, different exposure to activities, and they're going to introduce all of our residents to new things and help them expand their lives.
Yeah. I found it interesting because last time you were on, you talked about how that also overflows into the choices of food in the dining
room. Absolutely.
And people bring in those different tastes, and they talk to the chef about it.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I think independent living is doing this a little bit more, but in our assisted living. In independent living, our chefs, they'll meet with the residents. We will make their favorite dessert. We will take their recipes and, you know, a recipe for four and feed 100, you know. And it's really a lot of fun when we're able to say this recipe came from this resident. Mm-hmm.
Terry, you were talking about how a lot of us, as we grow up, we have all these memories of our parents. We have these thoughts of how, when I was a kid, I did this. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget some of those memories, or we store them maybe outside of the box for a little while until it comes time to make a decision, like to move into somewhere like Adam's Place or another facility. I think we forget those memories growing up, and we repaint this picture of our parents in today's times. Well, this is how they are. They've slowed down a lot. But then once they get into an assisted living facility where they're able maybe to thrive all over again and really feel like what retirement should feel like, do you see or do you hear from families to say, well, now this is what I really remember. This is how Mom used to be. This is how Dad, they seem happy now.
I think, yes, but even beyond that, they're like, oh, I never expected Mom to do that.
Yeah.
You know, she was never interested in Mahjong. What is a Mahjong? You know, so I think just having the exposure to different things, you know, maybe Mom never really enjoyed going to the theater, but now she goes every opportunity that is presented. So just having exposure to different things outside of what they had been previously exposed to.
When we grow to a certain age, we become more tired. The burdens like mowing the yard every day, doing weed eating, making sure our yard looks perfect, making sure the outside of the house looks like we want it to. I don't know that we realize how much of a burden those things are as we get older until we get away from those things.
So you've heard the story of the frog in a pot.
Yes.
You put the frog in the pot with the water, and then you start boiling it, and the frog doesn't realize it's boiling. Probably a horrible comparison. I don't want to say that we're all frogs, but
and we're not boiling
water. And we're not in boiling water. But we do make adaptations as we get older. At my age, I have already reached the point of, I really don't want to go home and cook at night. And I mean, my husband and I were just having the conversation this week. We really need to stop buying groceries and start going out. And suddenly I realized, oh my goodness, I'm that generation and I want to eat at 4:30. You know, but as we age, we just get tired of certain responsibilities. But the problem with that is we also then start slowing down. Mm-hmm. So if we're not very intentional about not slowing down, I might not want to cook, but I need to do something other than either go out to a restaurant and go home and sit on my couch and boil in hot water. I need to keep doing something that is going to keep me active. But we really do allow ourselves to slow down, and suddenly we've stopped and we don't realize when that happened.
Yeah. I think all of us can say that we do feel better when we're doing something actively that we enjoy doing.
Sure.
And time kind of, well, we forget about time once we're busy doing something we enjoy. And I'm curious, when it comes to things like hobbies, at age 60, 70 plus, are people developing new hobbies like maybe art, maybe painting, or something along those lines?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I'd say yes. I've got a gentleman that he's done a lot more painting. And also the thing I love about how, you know, over time we progress with different things, even, I hate to say it this way, the best way I can say it is more adult coloring books where it's actually like pictures. It's not kid stuff. It's, you know, flowers that you can take colored pencils and they find it very relaxing to do, you know, when you just want to kind of show something that you've created. But, you know, I can't actually draw the flowers, but yeah, I can color in the lines, make it look nice and add different flavors and colors to it. But I was thinking of something when Terry was talking. I want to make sure I say, you brought up a great point about kind of like these steps, like when are we thinking of maybe not wanting to do certain things anymore. I feel like with independent living, it really is that they're just kind of like, well, I really don't want to do it anymore. Where assisted living, they're really struggling to have the energy to do it. So they're starting with a lot of microwave meals or not even wanting to go out because it's just a little much to get in the car and go do things and all that. And so I'd say that's where some of the the changes are. But when they come into a community where they have a chef that's making them a meal and they can go out and do what they want, for independent living residents, I'd just assume that they just can do much more. Our assisted living folks, it's like they've been able to hold in that energy so that now they can go and watch the grandkids at the soccer game because they haven't worried about going to buy groceries, clean the house, make the meals. They've had all those taken care of and their energy is still up to a certain point. And they're like, yep, let's go out. Let's have a meal together as a family or let's go to the soccer game. So it's kind of an interesting thing how those dynamics happen as we age.
It sounds like it's almost like you're on vacation because when you're on vacation, you head back to the hotel and you still have energy because you're on vacation. Yes. You don't have to worry about all the other things in life that you used to have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's got to be interesting day to day to hear some of the different changes in people's lives and how it's a lot better for a lot of them compared to how it used to be or what they describe as how it used to be.
Sure. Yeah, because they do come in and make new friends. You know, people oftentimes when they're sitting in our offices talking about making a move, it's like, well, my spouse has passed away, my neighbor just passed away, my church has dwindled because it's all elderly and they're passing away one at a time, and my friend group is getting smaller and it's really coming down to just me, and I don't have people that I can rely on other than the kids anymore. And then they move into a building like ours or onto a campus like ours, and they are surrounded by 100 very close friends and neighbors that are all there for one another. You know, if you get sick, somebody's there to check on you. If you want to go to a party, there's somebody there to go to the party with you.
They can all relate to each other, too. Exactly. They've all been through the same thing. And the really amazing thing about both industries, independent and assisted, is that we encourage, or we actually need the resident to bring their items, their furniture that they've been gathering up through their lifetime, their photos that are on those walls of all their memories. Because obviously it's such a hard thing for someone to consider moving out of that home, because they're always going to say it's about the memories. But when they think about what the memories are, it's really not typically, it's really not the actual house. It's what happened in the house, the socialization, who it was that they were having that memory with. So if they can bring a portion of that house with them, all their belongings that they gathered up, that they, you know, bought together with their spouse, or, you know, those types of things, and all the pictures of the kids, the grandkids, and put them up on those walls, but you're still having that socialization, it kind of connects the two worlds, where they're so afraid that it's like totally, now they've left that and it's forever, those memories are forever gone. It's one of the hardest things to get them to understand is that when you truly decorate your apartment like you would, that's your house, like your house was, that you're bringing those memories with you. And you can still enjoy that and still be around other people and have a social life still.
Fear is the biggest, probably the biggest thing that stops us from moving forward with doing stuff like making a move, you know, because I understand it would be really hard to move out of a house where maybe you've lived there for 30, 60 even years.
Right. Yes.
That's
exactly.
A tough decision.
It really is.
Well, it's a tough decision. It's also a very overwhelming decision.
Yes.
You know, just the thought, and I tell adult children all of the time, it's like, okay, if you were to pack up your house and make a move, it's one thing because you're young, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, not really that big of a deal, but it is going to create a little disturbance in your life. You take someone who's 70 or 80 and the prospect of, okay, now I have to sort through, I have to pack, I have to clean, I have to sell, I have to load the truck. It is a very overwhelming prospect. Meeting with the families, helping them understand the importance of taking the necessary steps, giving them resources that they can make use of to help them with the downsizing and the moving aspect. A lot of times, just giving them a contact name, they have a sigh of relief of, oh, well, I'll just let them go do it all. And it works.
I'm a few years away from 70, 80 years
old. A few. not nearly as close as I am, but that's beside the point.
But, you know, even at my age, the thought of moving mm-hmm. again is overwhelming for me. I cannot yes. stand moving. Yeah. It's horrible. So I can't begin to imagine what it would be like once you get a lot older yeah. to the point of, you know, hey, I'm retired. This is not what I want to be doing, talking about moving.
Right.
So I could see where that'd be really tough.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the advantages that Steve and I have by working in this industry is we see the steps that we need to be taking now and, you know, understand the importance of, okay, yeah, I really don't need that. So I'm going to go ahead and get rid of it now so that when the day comes that we make a move like this, maybe it won't be quite as difficult for us.
I can imagine. Yeah. You know, I bet you look at everything totally different whenever you walk into a closet. It's like, why do I have this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, with us this morning, we have Terry Deal and also Steve Chapek from Adam's Place right here in Murfreesboro. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back. Again, you're tuned to WGNS.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Years. Online at WGNSradio.com.
Celebrating 78 years of being your good neighbor station. Action Line.
Hey, did you see that crowd last week?
Well, it's the 50th season. What'd you expect? Fireworks?
Nah, just sweet corn and smiles.
This year marks 50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. We also have PA and DJ equipment. Some lights, yes, we have that covered too. You can come rent a PA and sound system, do your karaoke, and bring it back. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
We're at Adam's Place talking with John Hood. John, what do you like most about Adam's Place?
Well, Bart, I guess what I like most is the personal attention that you get, the comfort and security, and knowing that you're in a very outstanding place.
What made you choose Adam's Place?
Well, frankly, I only looked at Adam's Place.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adam's Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
You're tuned to WGNS, and today we have guests in studio from Adam's Place. We have Terry Deal and also Steve Chapek with us, and we're talking about things like moving and when to make the move to somewhere like Adam's Place or even another assisted living facility. But when you do make that decision, what goes into it prior to actually making the decision? I mean, what types of thoughts? Are there a lot of talks with family? What goes into that?
If we're talking about assisted living, what I'd say is typically there's some signs that are happening for the older adult. They're starting to find that's a little bit trickier to do the normal day-to-day or week-to-week activities. The cleaning of the house, the going to purchase groceries, and then preparing a meal. That's a really big one. Because, you know, preparing a meal takes quite a bit to chop everything up, standing there, at the stovetop, cooking it all up, or even taking something out of the oven safely if maybe balance has become a little bit of a concern. Also, medications are another portion where nowadays most of us do take something, some type of medication. Maybe just forgetting to take that till later in the day even, and the back and forth of the medications might be that's supposed to be taken at 8. Well, one day maybe they're taking it 10, maybe they're taking it at 2 when they remember, and it just, the body isn't really responding as well because there's not a good schedule of medication anymore, so it's back and forth. Or a lot of times they might miss a day, and it could be some important medications. Quite often family might be trying to step in more and help with things. And, you know, the neat thing about assisted living is we get to see families and their parents, the adult children and their parents kind of build that relationship back, because a lot of times it becomes more of a relationship where the adult child is becoming caregiver. Mm-hmm. That's not the role that the parent wants for their adult child, and that's not the role that the adult child maybe feels comfortable with. You know, they get a little anxious, they want to help, they love their parent, but they don't really know how to do it properly. You know, this person changed their diapers as a, you know, when they were little, so they want to be respectful to their parent and things. But it is just one of those things where, as the adult children are stepping in more, if they can see that an assisted living allows them to have that relationship back, that instead of the adult child going grocery shopping and bringing things in, and they spent their hour outside of work doing the grocery shopping for and bringing it in, or even cleaning the house or doing something like that, then they can go back to going out and having a meal together, having that social time together, instead of the adult child's kind of tired from doing whatever they were doing for their loved one. They're actually back to just enjoying that time. So that's a big part of it. And what I've seen, though, and this is a tricky part for most people, obviously most people want to wait as long as they can. That's a very normal thing. But I can say over the 20 years of doing this now that when I see the residents that have been the most successful, that are still the healthiest, and you find out how long they've been there, they came in at a time frame where they really didn't have to come in. Mm-hmm. They chose to come in, and because of the stability of having their meds on time, not having to worry about maybe even making the bed, because we make the bed for them in the mornings if they wish for us to. There's little things that we do throughout the day that, as we age and we might have a little bit less strength, our balance might be a little bit off, that if just an incident with making the bed, and unfortunately a hurt hip, a hurt knee, all that changes the trajectory of how well they're going to do. So when someone doesn't have to do those little items, I've got folks that have been at the assisted living for 8 to 10 years almost, and they're some of the healthiest ones. And I'm like, so there's something to that. And the ones that wait a little bit longer, they usually do have more needs, and their health is a little worse. Anyways, I just thought I'd mention that part because this is something I see quite often.
Well, and one of the things, too, that I've seen, especially in assisted living, is if we can get mom and dad to just come in and see what it's about.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times you were talking earlier about the fear aspect. And, you know, the fear of the unknown keeps us from making a lot of choices. And if we can just get our loved ones to come and visit, either whether it's independent living, assisted living, wherever it is, if we can get folks to come in and make that visit and see that assisted living in particular is not that big scary thing up on the hill, but it really is a beautiful home. You know, independent living, when people step into independent living, it's really a little bit more of a choice. I'm just tired of taking care of the house, and I want somebody else to do it for me, but I don't really have any needs, okay? So we really just need folks to come out and visit and see what it is so that we can remove the fear aspect.
Absolutely.
I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but I've seen this happen before, too, where you've got a child who is taking on this new role of taking care of mom or dad mm-hmm. in ways that she never did before. But then you have the parent who says, you know, honey, I don't need this. I don't want you to do this. I don't, yes. You don't need to come over today. But so often that child, I don't know if they feel obligated because mom raised them, but they say, no, I'm going to come anyway and mm-hmm. help you out. But the mom or the dad really does not want that.
Yeah.
And I think we don't always listen. And when we don't listen, it leads to struggles. It leads to some mixed emotions. But how often do you see that where maybe the son, the daughter did not step back like they were asked originally, and now they're able to, and now you're able to see this new, you know, rebuilding of relationships like you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, but you're able to see that blossom into something new.
Well, we see that a lot. You know, unfortunately, sometimes the parents don't want the kids stepping in because they don't want to be perceived as a burden. Mm-hmm. And what our parents will never understand is you're never a burden to your children. Mm-hmm. But when we are able to take those responsibilities off of the children's shoulders so that they can become parent-child again instead of parent-caregiver, it really is fun to see those relationships blossom.
I'm sure a lot of these folks enjoy just sitting around and telling stories about their childhood or, sure. you know, hey, do you remember when this used to happen? But yeah. that probably happens every day.
All the time.
Yep.
So if somebody would like to learn more, if they want to ask more questions, is it a situation where they could just drop into Adam's Place and ask for you, or should they call ahead?
I would say both. We always welcome guests to just drop in. I know for Steve and myself, both our schedules are very busy. If you're wanting to sit down and talk specifics about finances, availability, those types of things, then yes, we do need to make appointments so that we can make sure we have enough time set aside to be able to spend with them. But we always welcome drop-ins. And if we're able to get up from whatever we're doing and go ahead and give them a tour right then and there, we are happy to do so.
And we only have like 45 seconds sure. left, but when you are talking about paying for, you know, assisted living, a nursing home, whatever it may be, are there different programs, different choices that you can make? You know, hey, I want to do this. I want to cut corners here and save money here, but I want to spend a little more here. Are there things we can do to better understand that process?
That could be a whole show.
Yeah, right that there. Could be. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, there are some things, but mainly, there's options in regards to different types of insurances that some people have gotten. If they're a certain age, they can look into some options for the future. Some people want to just invest well, and some others want to look into some type of insurance to have that could possibly assist with like an assisted living, maybe not independent right. living.
We probably do need to just do a whole show on that someday.
Lots of avenues to take.
A lot of avenues, yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Been talking about Adam's Place this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
This is WGNS Action Line.
FM 101.9, FM 100.5, AM 1450, and online at WGNSradio.com.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.